countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Good morning and welcome to Countrywide on this very blustery Saturday morning where we are. We're here live in Airfield in Dundrum in the centre of Dublin, and we're getting into the Christmas spirit this morning to begin the Wesley College Senior Choir.
So it goes to the North Pole and back.
Now, we need to sing our very best Christmas song to wake Santa up. Does that sound good? Does everybody know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yeah.
The Red-Nosed
Reindeer have a very shiny head.
My name's Quiva.
And my name is Ashley.
And I'm 4 3/4. We're going to see Santa.
This is my Nana Catherine.
They're all coming to us on Christmas Eve.
We're going to have our Christmas party with Nana.
We just enjoy having them. That's the most important part. And seeing their lovely faces light up whenever they're with us.
So where the reindeer is, and then we have to walk all the way up to see Santa.
This is Zoe. Zoe's 3 today.
Hey, my birthday.
I'm Sadie. We had our Christmas tree up and we have our stockings up. We have one big stocking and 2 little ones.
This is my brother Hayden.
1½.
Brian, you're a farmer here.
Yeah.
This farm is obviously year round. Who's looking after the animals on Christmas Day?
I'm no one working Christmas Day. I'll be coming in and a cow still needs me milked. It doesn't matter what. Snow, rain, sun, or someone has to come in and milk our cows. So these are little piggies. This is our manger here we have here for Christmas.
Like
we've got Billy the Kid over here on one side.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Daddy.
I'm Roisin and I'm age 5½.
Billy, Ashley, could I have
go,
Ashley?
My little sister, Ashley. She's 2½.
Billy.
Get scratches. You get scratches. That's where he lives and he stays to see all the boys and girls.
My name's Luca.
And my name's Tessa.
Cousins.
Do you make anything for Christmas at home?
We cut like a window shape out of a cereal box, and then we'd have Santa and a reindeer, and the reindeer has a paper clip on the back of it, so we have a magnet on the top of the box so it looks like the reindeer is floating.
Yeah, I did Christmas art in school. I made a paper plate Santa.
This is little Erin. We're the Mulligan family and we're here with our brother Scott. What's Santa going to bring you this Christmas, Erin?
My presents.
Hi there, could I have one of your mince pies, please?
Of course you can.
Lovely, thank you.
The beautiful Airfield estate have a lovely farmer's market started. It's on a Friday from 9:30 to 2 p.m.
My name is Declan Cassidy, and our business is Gourmet Grub Bakery. We have our mince pies now for Christmas here. Pastry we made on Tuesday, but the filling we made when it was snowing last March.
My name is Janice, and I'm the farm manager from Montarsh up in Wicklowtown.
Brussels sprouts and ham, we think of that when we think of Christmas.
Yeah, and our potatoes. Very, very well. Yes. And our potatoes are a great seller as well, our organic potatoes. We sell an awful lot of them for Christmas.
Margaret Hochter, Kilmullen Farm.
So I'll have lovely options for New Year's Day, because that tends to be the day that people want a slow shoulder. They want slow and low because they're feeling a little bit under the weather and they want to go for their walk, clear the cobwebs, and the shoulder is in the oven, nice and slow. And that seems to be the big seller for me this Christmas. So I'm really grateful.
Right, here we are. Hi,
hello,
hello,
boys and girls.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is Lily McDonald.
And 4¾.
It was amazing, wasn't it, today, the Santa experience?
I went on the sleigh and I go to see Santa.
This is Ria.
And made cookies and visit Santa.
And we went to face painting. Yes, exactly. And then we sang some jingle bell songs, didn't we? And then what did Santa say to you?
You have to go to bed early.
Some of the sounds and voices from here in the Airfield estate as collected by Louise Denver. And before that, Carol of the Kings from the Wesley College Senior Choir led by Helen Doyle. Doyle, you guys were awesome. Give yourselves a big round of applause. That was a great opening to the show. And you all look lovely in your school uniforms here this morning. I do apologise on behalf of Countrywide for getting you up so early on a Saturday morning, having to put on your school uniform. But look, it's only a week to Christmas. Will you stay with us and sing something else? Yeah? Come on, will you? Yeah? All right. Because we have a very special guest who's going to collaborate with you guys later on. It's Tommy Fleming. So we're looking forward to you singing with Tommy a little bit later on. Stop laughing. Now, I'm also joined here by Dr. Kirsty McAdoo, who's Hello. The head of research and education here in Airfield, and Luke Matthews, who's the chef here in Overends. And we're after gobbling down beautiful breakfast rolls here, so we've been really well looked after. Kirsty, I suppose I get the obvious out of the way. What a name.
I know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a married name, but we're kind of, you know, we can't have any daughters named Kimberly, because then they'd be Kimberly McAdoo.
Oh. And then the brother would be Coconut Cream.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And who wants that? Sweet.
Wait,
family.
Is it a Monaghan name, is it?
Monaghan, yeah. So that's where we're married into. So you know it must be love when it's a name like McAdoo. Absolutely.
It's a cool name. It's actually very special. Christmassy, isn't it? Kirsty McAdoo. Well,
yeah.
And Santa Claus at Airfield. And Santy will be with us later as well, I do believe. He's knocking around outside. Anyway, will you tell us a little bit more about this place, Kirsty?
Absolutely. Well, you know, welcome, first off, to everybody.
Yeah.
Airfield Estate is... Physically, it's a 38-acre working farm in the middle of the Dundrum, which is in Dublin. But our aim is really to enable people to make better food choices. So that's better for them, better for their pocket, and better for the environment.
So there is a working farm here?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a full Jersey herd, and we milk and pasteurise on the estate. The milk is amazing. But we also supply all our own organic fruit and veg to the restaurant on the estate, as well as our own milk, meat, eggs. Absolutely everything goes in there. It's so delicious.
And how important is this place?
So important. You know, people, we're now living in generations that are maybe one or two generations detached from farming. So people have really kind of lost maybe that connection to the physical aspects of farming and understanding how the year works, the seasonality, all of that sort of stuff. So what we do here is we welcome people on a daily basis in through the gates, but we also have educational visitors. Last year we had 320,000 visitors to the estate and the restaurant, 11,000 educational visitors, and all learning about food, where it comes from, meeting people that they wouldn't normally meet on a daily basis, chefs, farmers, bakers, all of that sort of stuff. So it's a really amazing resource right on your doorstep.
Right, and we're here in the house.
Yes.
And you might be able to hear in the background the wind.
The Overend Sisters.
Coming up the the ghosts of the Overend Sisters.
They're always with us.
They're always here with us. They're the two sisters
yes.
who left this place, bequeated it, I suppose, for research in perpetuity. Is
Absolutely,
that right?
Absolutely, yeah. They left it as a trust in 1974 for education and recreation. So we live every day here trying to fulfill that mission and that purpose. They were so foresighted, they were so philanthropic, one of the first families in Dublin to pasteurise milk and send it into inner city Dublin to help reduce tuberculosis and all that sort of stuff in the inner city slums. They gave the money to start the Sunshine Home, which is now the Laura Lynn Foundation. They worked tirelessly for St. John's Ambulance in the First and Second World Wars. Amazing women and big shoes to fill every single day.
And the restaurant, Overend's Restaurant, here is named obviously after them. And Luke Matthews, you're the chef here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Did you prepare those breakfast rolls? Well done. Thank you very much. And none gone to waste because they were very tasty. But food waste coming up to Christmas, Luke. You know, it's about an abundance of food in a lot of cases. Some people less fortunate than us. Probably not so much, but in general, when it comes to Christmas, it's about food and then all the food waste. What do we do with it on St. Stephen's Day?
Well, I like to make turkey ramen or turkey noodle soup, which is a good use for all your turkey leftovers and all the bits and pieces. You can just bash it into a pot. And
then we have turkey stew, then we have turkey fried curry, turkey curry, then turkey ice cream, the whole lot.
But we can also make use of all the veggie leftovers. We can make like a gratin, anything. It couldn't be cooked or it could be raw. A lot of cheese. There's lots of cheese usually hanging around the house, in our house. Put it all in the dish. A bit of cheese, some breadcrumbs, and bake it in the oven. That's a really simple, tasty...
Okay. But what about before the meal, when we're preparing the vegetables, before we cook? An awful lot of food is wasted in that process as well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And what do you do here in the restaurant, for example? Well, with the peels and the skins and the stalks?
So good preparation, I suppose, good planning. Know how many people we're cooking for, and that's a little trick to take home, to use at home.
Yeah.
Even writing a menu helps, and so you know exactly how many people and who you're cooking for and what sort of numbers.
Yeah.
And then, so the peelings, we're lucky enough to have kind of a closed loop here. We can give some of the peelings back to make compost on the estate, and then other parts we use to make pickles. So for example, the cauliflower stem, the cauliflower leaves all around, that usually goes in the bin, but you can actually just pickle that down, or like the stem and the broccoli. I would at home just use the whole thing and just boil it all up. It's not the same.
Make a soup out of it.
Absolutely.
Because is it one third of food that's grown is wasted in three ways? Going off, thrown out, going off, obviously, first off, then it's thrown out, the bits that we're leaving on the dishes or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And what's the third part? There's
It never gets eaten.
But we're responsible for a lot of that. When I go into a restaurant, I always ask for half portion. Now, I'm big and all of that, but I'm not a huge grubber. And sometimes when you go into a restaurant and you get the full portion, it's far too much. Our chefs...
No.
You know, do you like to get a clean... You obviously like to get a clean dish back.
I'm happiest when I see a clean plate coming back.
Yeah.
And, like, if someone wants to take their food home with them, we have leftover boxes down below. We encourage that. We try and encourage people to take their leftovers home and enjoy it later. It's even better later sometimes.
Yeah.
And
that's a big thing around Europe. Hasn't really caught on here, but it probably will be, because Kirsty, sustainability now is the buzzword in farming.
It is, yes. It's the way of the future.
Yeah, and that's something you're passionate about, and you're passionate about here as well.
Absolutely.
Like, can we continue farming? Can intensive agriculture, can it exist alongside sustainability in an environmental sense?
To an extent, I think it has to. You know, we have to feed the world, we have to feed the population, but at the same time, we need to be cognizant of what's around the corner. So really the best farmers are the farmers who are farming for the next generation, and that means that they're really investing into the land, investing into technology, and investing into resources that mean that they're going to be able to earn money right now and survive, but also make sure that whoever they're passing the farm onto will have something to use in the future. So that means investing in the environment and really paying attention to what's happening around them. You know, going to all their Chagas meetings, going to all of their groups and all that sort of stuff, and having a conversation about it and really making a concerted effort towards it. But you know, as a population, we also have to help with that. You know, like, I think agriculture gets a bit of a beating with regards to all of the greenhouse gas emissions, but you know, we're all still driving petrol and fossil fuel powered cars, and you know, we all have to make a big effort to not waste that third of resources of food that goes in the bin. If we cut back on that, if we walk somewhere, if we get the bus, we buy an electric car, all of those things help as well. Because you know, at the end of the day, we can't just cut out agriculture. We still have to feed everybody, and we still have to have, you know, something for the future.
Yeah, and so, the land needs to be farmed. It can just go fallow as well. Listen, we're going to leave it there for the moment. From you, Kirsty, and from you, Luke, have a great Christmas. Luke, are you cooking Christmas Day, or do you get a day off?
No, I'll take it easy and let Mum take over.
But I'm sure you'll be overseeing it there and giving her a few tips, right? Okay. All right, listen, thanks very much. And if people want to come along and meet you, Luke, they can, to the restaurant. And it's a beautiful restaurant here. And Kirsty, thank you very much indeed as well. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, our first two guests on the programme this morning. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it must be Christmas because Tommy Fleming has just walked in. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And thanks very much. You were playing in Dunmanway last night,
and
you're here now.
Dunmanway, West Cork.
You drove up through all the wind and the rain and made it here.
David, the good man that looks after me here, drove up, so I was asleep in the passenger seat, so I was grand.
Right.
No, I have to come in. It's Christmas, isn't it?
It is Christmas.
It's kind of a tradition.
It's always
a
great treat on Countrywide to have you here with us at Christmas, and it's a great pleasure, as always, to welcome you, Tommy. I'll have a little chat with you again in a few moments after the break, but will you sing us an Elle song?
I will, and I was just talking to Ian there, and we just said we would do this one, which I recorded on a Christmas album about 10 years ago, which I suppose this year is very appropriate because it's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, and it's Christmas, so this is Christmas 1915. In 1915, on Christmas Day, on the Western Front, the guns all died away, and lying in the mud on bags of sand, we heard a German sing from no man's land. He had a tenor voice so pure and true. The words were strange, but every note we knew, soaring o'er the living, dead and out, the German sang of peace from no man's land. They left their trenches and then we left ours. Beneath tin hats they smiled just like wildflowers, with photos, cigarettes and pots of wine. We built a soldier's truce on the front line. Their singer was a lad of 21. We begged another song before the dawn, and sitting in the mud and blood and fear, he sang again the song all long to hear. Silent night, no cannons roared. A king of peace is born forevermore. All's calm, all's bright, all brothers hand in hand. In 1915, in no man's land. In the morning, all the guns boomed in the rain. And they killed us again.
fighting right throughout the day. For one night's peace we bloodily did pay. At night they charged, we fought them hand to hand. And I killed the boy that sang in no man's land. Silent night, no cannons roar. A king of peace is born forevermore. All's calm, all's bright, all brothers hand in hand. And that young soldier sings, and the song of peace still rings, though the captains and all the kings build no man's land.
Tommy Flynn, we're here at the Airfield Estate, a working farm here in the centre of County Dublin, and a man who knows all about farming is sitting across from me, John Connell. Good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
All the way from County Longford, from near Mullinocta.
Very near Mullinocta. We're still rejoicing. It's been a Mullinocta week, and I can't deny but I'm wearing a Mullinocta jersey as well.
For the students from Wesley College, Mullinocta won the... I know I'm not being proud, but they won the Leinster Championship. They beat Kilmacud Crokes, which is down there. Any members of Kilmacud here?
No.
No? None? We're going, who? What?
The better off they don't say.
Right, OK. But anyway, they're still celebrating down there, John, are they?
Ah, yeah. There's only 400-odd people in the whole parish. And
there's more people here this morning.
There is, yeah. So it's not just a big event for Mullinocta. It's huge for Longford. You know, where there's even talk of if they get to the final for Paddy's Day that they'll cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade because the county will empty out and be in Croker.
Right. And there is another Croaks, Dr. Croaks, in the way between that happening, Dr. Croaks from Kerry. John, it's been a great year for you, author of the Cow Book, phenomenal year, wonderful sales, really captured the imagination with your writing, and you've put together a little piece this morning which you're going to read now for us, which is somewhat reflective of life on the farm at Christmas.
Yeah, it's a short story. It's from true life again, and it's an unusual nativity scene. So I'll read it here. The Christmas has come again, and with it, life on the farm has busied once more. Between the silage feeding, calves and lambs are coming into the world, entering our lives in the pleasing blood of new life. Christmas is a time of giving, and for us, it marks the calving of our purebred Charlie cow. She was bought a few years ago, and without fail has calved each Christmas day for the last 3 years. Christmas morning has changed in our house now, and it's not only the children that get a present, but we the adults too rejoice when the purebred, as we call her, drops her new calf. The purebred is a great lumbering beast, quiet as a mouse. She is a tender mother, but with one fatal flaw, she never bags up. It's the way with many of these highly engineered purebreds, and so milk is not something she freely gives. As such, with the birth of each calf, a surrogate mother is needed. We have a dairy cow whom raises each year's calf, but on this particular Christmas of our story, the dairy cow was weeks away from calving, and try as we might, there was no replacement cow to be got. Christmas Day came, and as we awoke to a world ringing with the sounds of unwrapped presents, the purebred walked her house getting ready for her own nativity scene. Sick in the byre, she patrolled her pen until the slime came from her. We watched her then for a time, waiting to ensure we did not take the calf too soon. I returned from Mass to take my place at the jack as my father, brother and I rested the calf into the world. The purebred has never been much of a pusher, and so the job was totally in our hands. With probing hands, we took the new calf's feet, and then setting to, we began our work. God bless us, my father said, evoking the Lord on this, his birthday. He was a whopper calf last year, my brother chimed. As the jack strained on the feet, we agreed that this year would be no different. Our talk ended as we battled to bring the head out. Our strained breaths laboured as we levered down on the jack and slowly saw his face flat emerge. Rubbing the mucus from the calf's nose, my father yelped, "He's alive! He's alive!" "Now go for it, Tom," he instructed my brother. My brother is a big man, some 6'4", and he can handle a jack better than many we know. Pulling, grinding, levering, we brought the new calf into the world. As the calf's hip broke from its mother's vaginal embrace, I put my hands under his carriage and we carried him to the fresh straw. Fluid and strong, I could feel his muscles through my arms. There was no doubting that it was the calf of Flying Scotsman, a well-known AI Charlie Bull. Panting, my father lifted the calf's legs. "A bull, by Jesus, a bull." We cleared the calf's airways and took a moment to rejoice. My brother hunkered down in the straw, taking his breath, I cleaning the calf, and my father rejoicing in the moment of birth and the possibility of new life. The purebred had put up no great fight in her labour. She lowed from the calving gate to see her son, her moo waking us from our reverie. My father wet his hands, then ran them under her elder, stroking her tits, but stroke as he might, no milk came. "She's the same every bloody year, a great calf and not a drop." We defrosted our storage of beastons, that golden wonder liquid, and Dad took to the phone once more in search of a mother, in search of a Christmas miracle. It's not every man you can call on Christmas Day morning and who will oblige, but like the wise men of that most famous nativity scene, there are still good people in this world, still men who will come over the horizon line with gifts of need and want. Derek Moorhead is our friend and neighbour, the man who's taught me all I know about sheep and lambing. Derek is a Protestant and we are Catholic, but that matters nothing, for we are all of us farmers, all of us friends, and it was to him my father asked for help, and him who alone obliged. He came in a flurry of cigarette smoke, wearing his overalls and wellies, as if it was any other day. "It's not frankincense," he said, "but it'll do." He opened the trailer door and let out one of his freshly calved dairy cows. "She's only working on three tits, but it's three more than you'll get anywhere else today." Derek inspected the buyer and, being a great judge of an animal, agreed that it was a good calf and that Scotsman was a good bull. We moved the purebred into the next house and put the foster mother and her calf in together. We would milk her out in the hours to come. My father went inside for a moment and returned with a Christmas hamper for Derek. There was vodka and chocolates and other treats that we longed to eat ourselves. "We'd have been lost without you, Derek," he said. "Isn't that what Christmas is about?" he answered and blushed as my father shoved the hamper into his hands. We smiled then, looking in the half door at this, our nativity of nature, in this, our Bethlehem of the fields.
Lovely, John. There was a few squirming faces at various points of that delivery around this room here. Well done. That's, it's reflective, I suppose, of life on the farm, particularly at this time of the year, and very, very poignant. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks,
that's John Connell there, author of the cow book, the best-selling cow book. They're reading it all over the world at this stage, John. Yeah. And now I'm joined here by Deirdre O'Shea, who's the CEO of AgriAware, and by Tara Lovett, who's a vet and a playwright and many other things as well. And you work here a little bit. I know, Tara, you bring students. You're a lecturer in Dunleary.
That's right. I'm a lecturer in DFEI, yeah. And I bring students here to Airfield. We're absolutely blessed to be able to bring my animal care students here, and I teach a course in large animal husbandry.
Yeah.
And most of my students are from the area. They never would have been near a cow, a sheep, anything before. So it's an absolute delight to bring them up here. Myself and Brian, the farm manager here, have great fun with the students, getting them to handle cattle for the first time, handle the sheep for the first time, learning all about agriculture, because they really wouldn't have a clue. But it's really good fun.
Yeah, and we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. We had a young vet, Hazel Mullins from Cork, on, mm-hmm. and she's chosen to go into the large animal end of things. Mm-hmm. whereas a lot of people studying now, they're going into the small animal, the pet animal. So what's the breakdown in your class, for example, of students when they finish? What do they want to do?
Well, my students, they're going into a wide range of things. Some of them go on to try and study veterinary nursing. A lot of them will get into, I suppose, more small animal areas. We did have a student that actually got employment here in Airfield, and he worked for a year or two, and then he went on and he's managing a dairy herd down in Wexford. We have some of our students get into pet retail. Some of them get into dog grooming. There's a wide variety, animal welfare, those kind of areas. Some go on to study agricultural science in UCD. I would have had six last year that went to study agricultural science in UCD from the course.
Right.
And so it's varied.
And how many animals are there here on this farm here? What's the mix of...
I wouldn't know the exact number, but I reckon
cattle, sheep.
Talking to Brian, I think he has about 22 cattle. The sheep, Kirsty would know, I'd say he's easily got about 20.
Yeah.
He's got pigs.
What other animals here, Kirsty?
Yeah, we have our own Jacob sheep herd. We have our saddleback pigs. We have our Jersey herd. We have chickens supplying eggs. We have and all our goats as well, because we're very keen to make sure that whatever is going on in the world, especially in Ireland, we're producing a lot of goat's milk. Because of that, we have a lot of boy goats. We want people to experience eating goat meat, so we do that in the restaurant as well.
Very good. And it's great then to have Tara and her students here tending to the animals.
Absolutely.
A win-win for everybody, as they say.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Deirdre O'Shea, your job in AgriAware is to promote agriculture among non-agricultural people. Is that a fair way of putting it? How many people in this country are involved in farming?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, AgriAware, we're the independent educational body for the agri-food sector here in Ireland. So our mission is to ensure there's a positive image of the industry out there among members of the general public. So in terms of involvement in the industry, I mean, 1 in 8 jobs are linked to agriculture. So it's hugely important for our economy here, and it's our largest indigenous industry. But really, through our programmes and through our work, we're trying to communicate to the non-farming community. And I mean, we're living in an increasingly urbanised nation, so I mean we're really facing with that challenge now. I mean, if you look across the globe, we're in a good position compared to some other countries in terms of our understanding and the perception of our industry, but we can't become complacent. And I think, you know, what the work like what Kirsty and the team are doing here in Airfield and the events that we've run in AgriAware, I mean, they're so important and more important than ever, I think.
Well, why is that? Why do you need to educate people about farming and the common agricultural policy? This is what you do. You're kind of bridging that urban rural divide there. Why is that important?
Exactly. So we're trying to bridge the gap between producer and consumer, and it's important because we have a policy, the Common Agricultural Policy, which sometimes can be viewed as just a policy for farmers, but it's actually so important for consumers in terms of giving farmers the ability to produce quality food that is safe and affordable for the consumer as well. I mean, the EU taxpayer costs about 30 cents per day in terms of their contribution.
So we're contributing in our taxes.
Exactly.
Okay, and towards the cap. The so-called grants that farmers get.
In return for that, if you look at food prices, and the CSO have figures, if you go back to 1980, we were spending about 28% of total household income on food produce, whereas now we're spending 14%. Right. And if you take out the eating out and you minus that from the calculation, it's actually below 10%. So, I mean, quality food in this country has become so affordable as a result of the Common Agricultural Policy. And, I mean, Kirsty touched on it earlier in terms of the whole sustainability debate. And she mentioned that everybody can play a role. And I think the consumer can definitely play a role by supporting local farmers and buying Irish produce, particularly around Christmas time when we're doing lots of shopping.
All right, Deirdre, thank you very much. You're home in Laois for Christmas, are you?
I surely am. I'm heading back to Laois to spend some time with family and friends.
You could be doing what John was talking about on Christmas morning as well, back in the farm.
I surely could be.
And Tara, you're living in Ballyjames stuff, but from Bray.
But from Bray, and for Christmas, I'll be working. I'll be in the Pet Emergency Hospital in UCD.
Will you?
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
All right, okay.
If anybody wants to rock in with a sick pet, I'll deal.
Or a bit of turkey or Christmas pudding or something like that.
Anything would do.
And Tommy, for you, Tommy Fleming, where are you spending Christmas? Are you
at home? I usually take about 4 weeks off.
Do you?
Yeah, which starts tomorrow.
Okay.
it starts today after about 9 o'clock.
All right, nine.
I take about 4 weeks off, and then I go back into kick off with the Irish tour. kick off with the Irish tour. Everyone's wondering what am I like.
Oh, look at what's happening. Good morning. How are you?
Mr. Claus.
Mr. Claus. You're very welcome.
Damien.
Yes, that's right. I've been a really good boy.
I am very glad to hear that. Yes, we trade in good children, nice good lists as opposed to bad lists.
What about our friends from Wesley here? Have they been good?
They have been fantastic, and I heard this beautiful chorals coming over the air. I am so happy to be here in Airfield.
Did you have a windy landing this morning?
Always the case, particularly in this part of the world. Yes, and at this time of the year. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how does Rudolph deal with the turbulence?
Well, Rudolph is wonderful because the sleighs is worked on electromagnetism, and we are able to point the direction we're going, and Rudolph has the red nose, so he can overcome any warning up to red. So, fine.
Right.
We're fine at our
Okay, I believe you, yes. Well done, Santi. You weren't expecting that question, I know. But anyway, you're heading back to the North Pole. We were talking earlier on about sustainability. What about global warming? Is it having an effect on the ice caps up there?
Well, it should, excepting we work on electromagnetic. We have no such a thing as engine power or gasoline or anything that you're using here.
Right.
We've advanced well beyond that, and we're into electricity in a big way.
Right. And on the 26th of December, you take a little bit of a break. Donald Trump is looking for an advisor. Would you think maybe of going in?
Well, if I did, I might only last about a week with him.
I think you'd have more sense than him, maybe, as well. Anyway, we're going to let you go, Santi, and thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. Do you want to give a big ho-ho-ho to all the children, the nice children around the country? What's your message to all the children listening to us this morning? The
message is, regardless of everything, do what your parents bid you.
I totally agree with you on that one, yes.
Thank you, Damien.
Okay. And thank you, Santi, and we wish you all the very best. We wish you Godspeed over the next week.
Thank you very much. Ho, 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 I'm all.
Great! We have Santi. And if you want to see, then make sure, that is Santi. Look, he's dressed, he's gone again there. Thank you very much for dropping by. That's Santa Claus there, who's come by. We're so blessed. We have Tommy Fleming and Santi on Countrywide. Wow! And Tommy, you're going to finish now. I want to thank all of our guests here this morning. But Tommy, you're going to sing us out now with the Wesley Senior Choir. Thanks to Ian. Thanks to Denise, thanks to Mick, thanks to Damien and all the other crew here. And Tommy, you're going to sing us out. I'll let you introduce the song. And thanks a million to the Wesley College Senior Choir. Away you go, guys.
Thank you, Damien. This is probably one of the most iconic Christmas songs and one of my favourites. And when I heard the Wesley Choir singing it, it's definitely one of my favourites again. This is A Holy Night and a Happy Christmas to you all.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the wee world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus praise we, let all within us praise his holy.